Good morning. Today's daf and b'mitzia chav zayin. We're in chav vav amud beis. We are starting with the Mishnah towards the bottom of the amud. There's only one Mishnah in the amud. Okay. We are still here in the second parak of the Masechta, and we're talking about the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So various permutations within Hashavas Aveda, and without giving a recap of what we've been doing since the beginning of the parak, but effectively, you find a lost item. There are three possibilities. One, there is a telltale sign of identifying who the owner is. So that's what's called a simen. And as a result of that, you have to assume that the owner of the item is not lost hope on the item, and he's going to hopefully reclaim that item, and somebody's going to find it, and he's going to be able to identify it and going to give it back to him. You have a mitzvah of the Torah to go ahead, pick up that item, and return it to him. Beautiful. You'll make announcements. You'll try to discover who the owner is, and you'll make a shidduch with you and the owner, and you'll give it back to him, and you'll fulfill a mitzvah of the Torah of Hashavas Aveda. One possibility. The other possibility is that there's no simon on the item. He has lost hope on getting back the item, and now you can claim ownership of the item using the mechanism what's called Yeush. And Rashi, the beginning of the Perek. First, Rashi in the Perek says Yeush, which then is tantamount to Hefker, which means now that you can pick it up, claim it, and take ownership of the item. And then really, the truth of the matter is there really is a third possibility, which is just leave it alone. In other words, there is an owner to it. The owner deliberately put it over there, and he doesn't want anyone touching it. He doesn't want anyone taking it. And so leave it there, and you'll just simply claim ownership. In our third category, you just leave it alone. Don't pick it up. Don't touch it. Okay, how do I know which one to go through? So the answer is learn the second parak of Mamatzia, which is what we're doing exactly right now. So over here now in this Mishnah, we're going to go over other scenarios and other examples of basically how to thread this needle. So let's take a look at the Mishnah inside Matzah B'chanos. So now there's an Aveda. And I find the Aveda in the store. Okay, good. So Hare Elu Shalosh, so you pick it up and now you can keep it. So you find it in the store, you can pick it up, you can keep it. Yeah, again, there are throngs of people in the store. Okay. And let's assume right now that we're picking up an item. Very good, Phil. You read my mind. Right? Not only did you read my mind, by the way, but you also read Rashi. Right? Okay, even better. So it's an item without a simon, and it's in the store, and there are tons of people all around. So that's it. In other words, there's nobody to return it to. In other words, you can assume yeish. You could assume hefker, and therefore you can keep it. Now, beina teva lechenvani. Now we're going to be a little bit more specific, and that is we're between the teva and chenvani. Now over here, it's a little bit better if we understood what exactly was common market practices back in the good old days. So there was a chenvani, there was a merchant, and there was a table. Okay, nowadays everything nowadays is what's called Amazon. So nowadays, talk about keeping up with modern merchant practices. Back in the good old days, you had what's called a mall, and you had stores, and you went into the store. Okay, but now going back even to the good old days, and so what you had is, in other words, you had a table, and he put his merchandise on the table, and you go ahead and you make a purchase. And the money would be transferred, and you take the item. All right, it's pretty straightforward. It's not terribly complicated. And now what happens over here, if the metziah was located between a teva lechenvani, so it's between the teva, that's the table, and the chenvani. So shechenvani, so it belongs to the chenvani. So over here, now you could assume that whatever was lost, in other words, it's between him and the table, literally, between him and the table. So you could assume now that it belongs to him, meaning the merchant. Lifnei shechani. Now, we're going to quickly transition in the Mishnah from a merchant to a money changer. Okay, money changer. So back in the day, you needed a money changer. Again, something that's a little bit hard for us to relate to. In other words, but back in the good old days, in order for currency to work, so you had money changers who, for lack of a better term, they just simply changed money. Okay, making bigger coins into smaller coins and whatever. They were necessary. It was a necessary component of the whole transaction. And so you went to your money changer, and obviously now there are going to be coins that are going to be falling between the cracks. So those coins now belong to whom? So, lifnei shulchani harei elu shelo. So if it's in front of the shulchani, so now finders keepers, you can pick it up, you can keep it. Ben kisei elu shulchani harei elu shel shulchani. Now if it's between the chair and the shulchani, so that belongs to the shulchani. Again, by the way, it would be so helpful to me if I understood a little bit more specifically, more accurately, how all this was configured. I get the basic idea of the Mishnah, In other words, it's a question of proximity and where it was found relative to where the Shulchani was. I get that part, but obviously if I saw it firsthand, I certainly would understand it better. So let's say now you go to you go make a purchase and you buy some fruit. And lo and behold, in other words, as you're picking the fruit out of the basket, what do you notice? And that there's some money over there. Huh, so funny. That's great. What a bonus. And not only that, by the way, you get to keep it, says the Mishnah. So, Hare Elu Shalom. Ima Yetzur no Tol Machris. Now, if the money was bundled up, meaning, i.e., there was a simon with the money, so now there's a simon, now there's the possibility of you finding the owner, so then you have to go back to Hashavas Aveda, the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. Okay. The Gemara is going to ask the obvious question, and maybe you're thinking about it right now, and that is, if I'm finding money within fruit, so can't I assume now that it's the seller's money? Meaning, doesn't that seem to stand to be reasonable? Hold that thought. The Gemara is going to ask effectively that question. Okay, so quickly now we're running through our first sugya of today. I'm a Rebbe Lazar. Afilu menachin al gabi shochan. So now we are going on the first halacha of the Mishnah, really second halacha of the Mishnah, and that is that we are by the shochani, the money changer. And what do we say that the money is found between the money changer and the table belongs to the money changer? If it's found in front of the table, it belongs to the person who finds it. What about on the table itself? You found money on the table itself, right? Unclaimed money. So Rabbi Lazar says, "Afilu menachem al gabi shochan." Even if it was found on the shochan, it belongs to the finder. To the finder. So the Gemara says, "Tanan." Now let's go back to our Mishnah. Let's see if we could see that in the Mishnah. Lifnei shochan erelu shalo al gabi shochan de shochani. Okay, so if it's lifnei. What that sounds like is that it's not on the table, but it's rather in front of the table, meaning on the floor in front of the table. Simple diuk in the Mishnah would indicate that if it's found on the table itself, it belongs to the Shulchani. So Eima Seifa, the Gemara says, okay, I hear you, but just read the next words of the Mishnah. And that is, Ben Kisev lo Shulchani, Shulchani. The Mishnah then says that if it's between the chair and the Shulchani, that belongs to the Shulchani, which now would imply ha Al gabi shochan shalom, that on the table itself doesn't belong to the shochani, but rather to the finder. So, elameh halakha lemishma mineh. So, critical reading of the Mishnah will not arrive at either conclusion. So, in other words, it leaves it open, and therefore leads Rebbe Lazar to the conclusion that on the table itself belongs to the finder. So, v'Rebbe Lazar haminale. Okay, good. So, from the Mishnah, we don't have a diuk. Okay, we don't have a diuk. So it doesn't lead to the conclusion, just simply leads it as a open-ended question. What if I find money on the table itself? Now, we just went through the Mishnah, and the Mishnah's implication goes in either direction. So how did Rebbe Lazar know that if found on the table belongs to the finder? Am Rava Masisa Kashise. So Rava says, no, there is a deek in the Mishnah. You just have to read the Mishnah even more carefully. And that is, my Irya Dini Ben Kisla Shochani, Shoshochani. Mishnah goes over a case of it's bein akise l'shochani, lisnei ala shochan. In other words, the Mishnah, look, what the Mishnah should have done is that the Mishnah should have given us a clear example of al ha-shochan. Inami matzah b'shochanos, kediktani reisha. And in fact, why should the Mishnah have said ala shochan? Because the Mishnah was just coming off the merchant. And in the case of the merchant, what did the Mishnah say? Matzah... Sorry, no, not that. But the Kediktani Reisha, Kediktani Reisha, Matzah Bechanus Shalom. So in other words, in the first case of the Mishnah, we're talking about the merchant, you find a Bechanus. It belongs to you. Elosh Mamina, Afilu Menachin Agabi Shochan, Harei Elu Shalom. Meaning, the Mishnah started off with the merchant. And by the merchant, it said Matzah Bechanus, and it belongs to you. Now, as we change and move to the money changer, if we wanted a parallel structure on the money changer, the Mishnah should have said, found it on the table. The Mishnah clearly steered away from giving that as an example. Why? Because it's simply not true. Meaning, if found on the table, then under those circumstances, it belongs to the finder, not to the money changer. Okay, so just by looking at the Mishnah, the two cases side by side in the Mishnah, and seeing the parallel structure of the Mishnah, now what you get to do is you get to see, The reason why the Mishnah didn't give the example of money that was found on the table, because Ein Achinami, money found on the table, should go to the finder. It still kind of begs the question, in other words, if that's true, why wouldn't the Mishnah say it as clearly as just simply, in other words, it would cost the Mishnah more words? So a little bit unclear in terms of why we are forced to see, you know, read the Mishnah so critically, why the Mishnah just doesn't say clearly. Okay. So if it's between the two. Now over there, by the way, the governing principle is proximity. Meaning if it's proximate to the outside, it belongs to the public. If it's proximate to the inside, it belongs to the owner of the home. So that's a governing principle over there. The only time we split it if it's filled from one end to the other. And so now I got proximity to this side and proximity to that side. Okay. Halokech bears mechaveiro. Amar shalakim mishum rabbi anoloshanu. Okay. Buying fruit, finding money amongst the fruit. And so what do you get to do? You get to keep the money as a bonus. So amar shalakim mishum rabbi anoloshanu. Top of chavzayna medala velabalokech minatagar. Yeah. That's true if I'm buying it from a tagar. I'm buying it from a merchant. Avabalokech me balabais chav lahachzir. I buy from a Baba's Chayv Lahachzir. Okay, I kind of set ourselves up for this Gemara, but good. Now we get to see the Gemara inside. We're going to make a distinction. Money found in fruit that you purchased belongs to you. So the Gemara quotes B'Shem Reish Lakish. Yeah, that's true. But that's only going to be true if I'm buying it from retail. In other words, how many hands did that fruit go through? Lots and lots of hands. So who does the money belong to? I have no idea. Therefore, get to keep it. It's an unidentifiable item. Money is generic. Money doesn't have a simon. Okay, I don't know who to give it to. But if I buy it from a Baal Bayis, so in other words, it's a transaction between me and a private entity, right? I went to the farmer. I bought it from the farmer. And now I bought the fruit and there's money in the fruit. Okay, now that money belongs to the farmer. It seems to be plausible. And the Gemara says, V'chein tini tana kamedi rav nachman loshan ala bekech min atagar. And the Gemara says, and we have a braisa that makes exactly the same point as well. Beautiful. So Amalei Rav Nachman v'chi balabayis batzma dashen. So the Gemara says, okay, but let me ask you a question. Even when you buy from the farmer, so the farmer did all the work by himself, meaning he's got hands on the farm, lots and lots of hands on the farm. And so even if I buy from a private entity, even if I go to the farmer and buy directly from him, so in other words, I know for sure the money belongs to the farmer. What about the workers? Can't it be that that money was lost by one of the workers? And again, we don't know which worker, we don't know which hand, and money's generic. I don't think there should be a difference. So Amalei Rav Nachman v'chi, sorry, Amalei Ismei. So the Rav Nachman's asking this question to the Chacham who was quoting the Braisa. And so the Chacham said to Rav Nachman, so should I just delete the Braisa? Meaning your question's so strong. You're right. So maybe the braisa is just not a good braisa. Ismay means like we should delete it, right? Hit the delete button. So Amalei lo, no, don't do that. In other words, leave the braisa alone. Titargei masis and kigon shadosh na'idei avda v'shichaso kananim. Oh, okay. We'll give an ukimta on the braisa. And that is, of course, the farmer has got lots of help. But who is the help? And neve kanani, neve shifcha kananis. And we all know the halach is ma'asha kana eve kana rabo. So in other words, even though they're helpers and they're hands, but they're his hands, halachically. As a result of that, so any money that they were dealing with is going to be the money of the Baal HaBayis. Ah, okay, fine. So under those circumstances, so when I buy it from a private entity, from a single person, from a single farmer, and he does have workers, but those workers are Eved Kanani and Shifcha Kananis, now I know that there's only one possible address of who that money belongs to. That's the farmer. Then and only then, do I go ahead and take that found money and give it back to the farmer? Because it belongs to him. But en hachinami. In other words, if I found money amongst the fruit that I purchased, and even if I purchased it on the farmer, but he's got workers over there, and they're independent workers. Right? 1099s, if you will. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I understand. Even W-2s are, you know, somewhat independent. But in other words, they have independent workers. So under those circumstances, en hachinami. I don't know who the money belongs to. I don't know who lost it. Money's generic. Money doesn't have a simon. Okay? So under those circumstances, you get to keep the money. Beautiful. Chav Zayin Amad Aleph. And Af Asima Haisa Bechlal Kolayla. Okay, so to appreciate the Mishnah and understand the Mishnah, we have to start off with a pasuk in the Torah. Right? This is a great example of a Mishnah basically being the transition from Torah Shebichsav to Torah Shebaal Peh. So let's start off with Torah Shebichsav. The pasuk says, we have cited this pasuk numerous times. Makes sense. This is a parsha in Parshas Ki Seitzer regarding Hashavas Aveda, which we need to know in order to appreciate our Torah Shebaal Peh. Pasuk says, this is in Perchav Beis of Devarim, Parshas Ki Seitzer. Yeah, do it for the donkey and do it for the simla, do it for the garment. In other words, whatever you find, you got to return. Now, so already the Torah says, whatever you find. Okay, good. So I'm now reading the pasuk in the Torah and I understand, whatever you find. So whatever you find, it would seem to be an all-inclusive, all-expansive instruction that whatever I find, I'm going to go ahead and return it. So, af hasimla haisa b'chal kol elu. So already the simla is just an example of whatever you find. So the Gemara says, I'm sorry, not the Gemara, the Mishnah says, lama yatsas. There's obviously a reason why the Torah goes ahead and highlights the garment. So beautiful. So what the Torah is doing is that the Torah is giving us this prototypical example so that we understand that for there to be a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda, so there has to be two things at play over here. Now I say two things, by the way. It could be that we're actually describing one thing, just using two different ways to express it. And that is that there's simanim and tovim. Simanim, they're telltale signs on the item that I found that can clearly be identified by its owner so that the owner now can go ahead and claim it. Which is why, in other words, you saw me just shift as I explained the Mishnah. I started off with two things. Really, the Mishnah could just simply be reflecting one idea. And that is that because it has a simon, so therefore it's going to have a toveah. The owner now is going to be looking for it. Meaning, in the absence of a simon, so now the owner is going to give up hope on having gotten it back. There's no way of claiming that the item belongs to him. And so therefore there's yesh, therefore it's hefker. Go back to the beginning of the perek. Okay, so yesh lo simanim yesh bo tovim really could be reflecting one idea. The Torah gives the example of simla because simla, in other words, every article of clothing is identifiable to its owner. Now, I say that, by the way, nowadays, a little bit trickier. In other words, now we live in a world of mass manufacturing. And so not every article of clothing now could be identified as, hey, it belongs to him. Now, if it happens to be that you have your name, you know, written into the article of clothing, great. But let's go back to an earlier time, an easier time where all clothing was not mass manufactured. All clothing was made by hand, right? And as a result of that, so it's easy now. You have a simla made by hand. So it's got individual features that clearly can be identified by its owner. That's why the Torah says that in the case of the simla, so now it's got a simon, the owner's going to claim it, good. That you have to return. Without a simon, so now the owner's not going to claim it, you don't have to return that. Beautiful. So my bechlal kol eila, marava bechlal kol avedas achicha. Okay, the first point of the Gemara is that when the Mishnah said bechlal kol eila, what did the Mishnah mean? So Rava gives simple pshat, and that is, the pasuk, kol avedas achicha, whatever your brother lost, you must return it to him. So, and it says kol, everything. So then why would the Torah have to go to say simla as the example? Good, that's the point of our Mishnah. Amar Rava, lama li dekas rechman ashur chamor seve simla. We're getting there. Good question, coming up. Shur chamor seve simla. How many examples did the Torah give when it comes to Hashavas Aveda? So the answer is four. Four. So the Torah itself goes over four different examples, meaning even though we just went over the fact that the Torah says, kol avedas achicha, but the Torah at the same time gives four examples, and obviously those are teaching points of the Torah. Every one of those examples is there to teach us something. Now, in a moment, we're going to learn together that of the four examples and their four teaching points, we only know three of the teachings. What? What about the fourth example? What about the fourth teaching? We did this back in Baba Kama. We get to review here in Bab Metziah. So a mystery, an unsolved mystery of the Torah. Okay, I know it sounds exciting. It is pretty exciting. In other words, one of the examples given in the Torah, we simply don't know what it's there to teach us. Good. And please, by the way, do not be hasty in suggesting that you know what it's teaching. The Gemara itself is going to declare checkmate in terms of we don't know what it's coming to teach us. Let's see all this together. So sure, Chamor Sevesim Latzrich Adikas Rachmana Simla Hava Minahani Mili Beidim Degufa Vesimanim Degufa. So if the Torah only gave the example of Simla, so I would have said, yeah, a garment. So a garment now has a simon in the garment itself. Again, a handmade item, which you can clearly identify. Beautiful. It has a simon. You can identify it. Perfect. However, when it comes to chamor v'chamor be'edim du'uka, v'simanim du'uka, fe'im alom adrenalei. But when it comes to a donkey, okay, I've said this for years, and I'm validated by the Gemara. Such a good day for me. And that is, no way you're going to be able to identify, hey, that's my donkey. Okay? So, but what you can identify, however, is that, look, donkeys, so they all look the same. Good. But, uka, but the saddle on the donkey. In other words, the saddle was, again, handmade. And now, how do I know it's my donkey? Because it's wearing my saddle. So now, but the saddle is not something intrinsic to the donkey. It's obviously an external item attached to the donkey. Can that be used as a simon? And that's exactly the point of the Torah. Even though it's an external simon, that could be used as a simon as well. So therefore, kasav rechman chamor dafil chamor b'simanei ha'ukaf. Perfect. So that's the second point of the Torah. So in other words, the simla itself is there to teach us simanim. The donkey, the chamor, is coming to tell us external simanim. Let's keep going. Sure, v'sed kasav rechman alamali. So sure, dafil legizas navo. So as far as the shore is concerned, so that would be even its shearings. Now, an ox has shearings? Minimally, but yes. Yes. When it comes to the ox, so the long hair is on its tail, so it falls out. So if you find an ox, so you have to return the ox, and not only you have to return the ox, but even those strands of hair from the tail of the ox, that has to be returned as well. You have to sit there, collect those strands of hair, and return that as well. So the Gemara says, now, seh. Now we're going to get stuck. And that is that we're at the fourth example of the Torah, and that's going to be the sheep. And seh, legizasov. So for the sheep, what I have to do is I have to return the shearings of the sheep. And now, hopefully, you're already locked into the Gemara's next point. Well, wait one second. I already established that I know I have to return the shearings of an ox. And we're only talking about the loose strands of the tail of the ox, and then have to be returned to its owner. You don't think I can figure out now that when you have a sheep, and frankly, the whole point of the sheep is to shear it. You don't think that the shearings of the sheep also need to be returned to the owner? It's obvious. So, Allah Marava Chamor Debor.
How do you recognize the sheep?
That's a good question. I don't know.
So, who's shearing?
It doesn't matter.
The shear has a saddle. With the sheep.
Someone else shared it.
Okay, if it's a Matthias question, I don't know. Ela Marava Chamor Dabor Le Rebbe Yehuda Vised Aveda Le Divrei Akol Kasha. Okay, so going back to Baba Kama, so as far as the boar is concerned, the chamor falling into the boar. Torah gives a couple of examples of what falls into the boar. And chamor being one of the examples, according to Rav Yehuda, it's superfluous. Go back to Baba Kama, and right there in the middle of the Masechta, we're not going to review it right now. Why it's superfluous according to Rav Yehuda, right now all you have to do, you don't have to remember, that's not true, we do have to remember, but for our purposes right now, it's not our topic, but according to Rav Yehuda, the Chamor is superfluous when it comes to the boar, and according to everybody, Seh is superfluous by a Shavas Aveda. So the Gemara says, Enachinami, we don't know. We don't know what Seh is coming to teach us. Ve'ema l'glalim hudah, so the Gemara says, what about glalim? Now this is going to, for a moment, sound crazy. And that would be the following. And that is that you found a sheep. So you have to return the sheep. The shearings? Yeah, of course, that you have to return as well. So we know that already. We know that from the shore. Great. Maybe the excrement? Maybe you have to return the excrement? Now, at first glance, that sounds crazy. But the excrement is part and parcel of the sheep. Okay? I understand, right? The sheep expelled it, but in other words, certainly the excrement has value. You're going to use the excrement as fertilizer. Maybe the excrement has to also be returned to the owner. So the Gemara says, Gulalim Afkuri Mafkalahu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the owner is going to be Mafkarit, meaning that if the owner, in fact, was Makpid on the Gulalim, so you're right. But an assumption that we're making, okay, and that the owner is going to be Mafkar, the Gulalim, he'll just simply declare the excrement to be ownerless. And so therefore, you don't have to return. That you get to keep. Vidimel Simanim Udasa, the Ibailan, Simanim Daraisa Darabanan. So the Gemara says, well, maybe says coming to teach me about Simanim. The idea that I'm going to return something based on Simanim. So and maybe it's there to teach me that Simanim works. Now, to Lifshitz's question, what exactly are going to be the Simanim on the sheep? I don't know. In other words, maybe there's a tag, whatever. But maybe the whole purpose of the Torah giving me the example of says for Simanim.
Yeah,
the Gemara says, that would have been a good point had we not had Simla. But as we already went over, Simla is there to teach me about Simanim. That was the teaching point of Simla. So now we're stuck once again. So what's that coming to teach me? So the Gemara says, that's exactly the point of Rava. I don't know. Meaning, that's a mystery. Good. It's an unsolved mystery. That we have four examples of the Torah of what if found, you have to return to its owner. One of those four examples is Seh. The other three have teaching points to it. We went over this morning the teaching points of the other three. What are we learning from Seh? Good. Unsolved mystery. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. We continue. Asher Tovad Prala Veda Shein Bo Sheva Pruta Rabbi Yehuda Amar Metzasa Prala Veda Shein Bo Sheva Pruta. Okay, so what comes out over here in the price is as follows. In order for you to have the obligation to return an item that's found to its owner, it has to be financially significant. Throughout Shas, we know financial significance means that it has to have minimally a value of a pruta. Here it's no different. So you have to find an item of value, minimally a value of a pruta, then and only then is there a requirement to return it. You find an item that's less than a sheva pruta, so you don't have to return it. That's easy. The only part that's going to be a little bit complicated is, how do I know that? Meaning, what are the words in the Torah that would indicate that? So over here, the Gemara just quoted a Braisa. We read it. And in the Braisa, we have two positions. According to the Tanna Kamma, it's extracted from the words, asher tovad. In other words, he found an item that was lost. And according to Rav Yehuda, umitzasa, and you found it. So either one of those is going to be the source of the item that was lost has to be a sheva pruta. Mai beinayhu. Okay, so I'm either learning it from asher tovad, we're learning it from umitzasa. Is there going to be a difference? So Amar Abaye Mashmas Tor Shanika beinayhu, mar nafkalei. Me asher tovad, mar nafkalei me umitzasa. So Abaye's answer is mashmaus. No practical difference. It's just a question of, textually speaking, which is the key word that gets us to that place. But Enachinami, they both agree. It's just a question of which word is better suited to teach me that point. Ulaman denafkalei me'asher tovad hayu matzasa mayavilei. And now the Gemara is going to go through its classic ping pong. And that is that if I'm learning it from asher tovad, so that makes umitzasa available. What do I learn from umitzasa? So this is just classic Gemara. Now, I'm going to go quickly over here, so it's going to be a little bit hard to keep up with the ping pong match over here. You're going to be, your eyes are going to be shuffling back and forth between his position. I recognize that, but okay, that's just sometimes the nature of the daf. We go too fast. So the Gemara says, umetzasa is coming to teach me a different point, which is that which was taught to us by the Amora named Rabbanai, which is umetzasa da'asa liyadei mashma. Umetzasa. Now, to appreciate this, as Rashi points out over here, what you have to do is you have to know the setup. The setup over here is that when do I have to return an item? Only when it was lost by a Jew. An item lost by a non-Jew, so there's no mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. The pasuk says, achicha, that only when your achicha loses something, do you have to return it. But if it's if it belongs to a guy, you don't have to return it. Now, I can imagine that if, let's say, I see an item that belongs to a guy, so I don't have to pick it up and return it to him. What if the item has already entered into my hand and it belongs to a guy? Is there still not going to be a mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda? That's exactly the point of Rabbanai. The asay liade mashmei. Umitzasa means that even if picked up by a finder and then subsequently discovered it belongs to a guy, no mitzvah v'shavas aveda. Again, I've made this point numerous times in the past. There's a Kiddush Hashem opportunity over here. So, right, you don't want to miss up on the Kiddush Hashem opportunity, but there's no mitzvah of v'shavas aveda. Okay. Now, if I'm learning out the halach of Shava Pruta from Mitzasa, so what do I do with Asher Tovad? Asher Tovad? So, me by the Chid Rabbi Yochanan, Damar Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Shem Aman Yochai, me nine la Aveda Sheshatva Nar Shehimu Teres. So, let's say that there was a surge of water, the water went ahead, collected all these items, and washed it away. So now, right, we went over this point before, but how do I know that now at that point in time, anyone who finds these items is entitled to those items? Shenemar. Keintas al chol Aveda Sachicha Asher Tovad Mimenu Umitzasa. Misha avuda heimenu umitsuya etzel kol adam. So in other words, it was lost only from its owner. But if it was lost from everybody, i.e. a water surge, so yafzuzusha avuda heimenu veinu mitsuya etzel kol adam. So under those circumstances, now somebody finds it, somebody can keep it. Ve'idach had rabbanai minalan. So again, now the Gemara just is going to keep ping-ponging back and forth. Meaning, if now I'm working with the other drasha, so how do I know the halacha of rabbanai? That's the Aveda's guy. That even after it gets into your hand, you don't have to return it. Nafkale mei umitzasa, the extra vav. So the idach, now we're going to ping pong in the other court. How do Rav Yochanan menale? How does he know the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan? That if something is washed away from everybody, so now at that point in time, it's finders keepers. So nafkale mimenu. So he learns it from the extra word mimenu. The idach mimenu lamashmalei. Now we ping pong in the other court. What do you do with a mimenu? What you do with the mimenu is it's not eligible for a drasha. Okay. Where are we right now? We know the halach is that in order to return an item, it has to be a shava pruta. How do I know that? So there are two possibilities. Either umitzasa or avan mimenu. One of those two possibilities. According to Abaye, there's no nafkamina, there's no practical difference between the two. It's just a question of mashmaus. Which word is better suited to teach us that point? And then the Gemara goes over its classic back and forth, ping-ponging between the two. Well, if I learn it from this, what do I do with that drasha? Oh, I teach it, teaches me that halacha. Okay, great. How does the other one know that halacha? Okay, good. So, and we went back and forth. But according to Abaye, we don't have a nafkamina. There's no practical difference. In order to return it, it has to be a shava pruta, simple, and end of discussion. Rava says, no, it's not that simple. So, according to Rava, Rava Amar Pruta Shuhu's Laika Beinahu. So Rava says that the item was a value of a pruta and then it went below the value of a pruta. In other words, market forces, you see how the market works, right? Things go up in value and things go down in value. I'm waiting for the part, by the way, where things go down in value. I'm looking forward to that. But okay. Anyway, but things go up in value and go down in value. So let's say the following, says Rava. I find an item, and after I found the item, it went down in value. It was just above a pruta when I found it. Now it's down in value. So, pruta shehus laika beinayu. Laman damar.
I don't know when he found it, when he lost it, it was worth it.
Okay, good. Wait. Okay, good. Man damar sher tovad habinu mitzasa v'leika. So, if I'm learning it from asher tovad, so habinan. Wait, did I skip a little bit? Yeah. Laman damar. Yeah, I skipped a little bit. So now we'll have an actual nafkamina, and that is as follows. Between, and Rabbi Lifshitz points out correctly. In other words, when he lost it, it was just above a Sheva Pruta. When you find it, so now it already devalued. So in other words, between those two points, the critical points are when he lost it, when you find it, and between those two critical points, it went down below Sheva Pruta. Okay, now, Rava says, now we'll have a real nafkamina. So, asher tovad. So, at the critical point of when he found it, was it shava pruta? Yes. So, if asher tovad is governing this halacha, so now I have to return it. However, umitzasa, that's the second critical point, when you find it. Well, when you found it, it's less than a shava pruta. So, then if umitzasa is what is the governing word that is going to determine whether I have to return it, well, I found it, it was less than a shava pruta. Now, I don't have to return it. Great. It's called the nafkamina. So the Gemara says, Ulamanda, Marshur Tavan Habinu Mitzah Savaleka. So the Gemara says, yeah, but I don't think that that Nafkamin is correct. Because Asher Tovad, in other words, even if I'm darshaning Asher Tovad, I can't ignore the fact that the Torah says, U-mitsasa, meaning the Torah does say that. So, well, let's put it this way. You can't have the mitzvah of Shavas Aveda without first finding the item. So in other words, I need U-mitsasa over there, and I can't ignore that it's there. So the Gemara is going to try to go in the other direction. When it was lost, it was less than a Shava Pruta. And when it was found, it's now greater than a Shava Pruta. So Ala Pruta Shukra Ika Benayu. We're going to go through the same thing again. So Mandamra Mitzasaika Mandamra Shetavad Leika. Great. So that would be a Nafkamina. Ula Mandamra, let me just quickly finish the point. Ula Mandamra Mitzasahabin and Ashetavad Valeika. So the Gemara says, okay, but again. So even if I say Umatzasa, I can't ignore the fact that the Asher Tavad, meaning to get to the point of finding it, it has to get lost. So Ella, so the Gemara says, okay, round three. Ella Pruta Shehukra V'huzla V'chazra V'hukra Ika Benayu. Okay, so great. So in other words, we have a fluctuating market. At the point, again, there are two critical points, when it was lost and when it was found. So when it was lost, it was greater than a Pruta. And then between the two critical points, it went down in value, and then it went back up in value. So now where, when it was found, it's at a Shava Pruta.
If the value of the item was less than a Pruta, wouldn't the owner be mayish? And
okay, it's a fair.
He's going to lose it. So
that's a fair question. It's fair. I don't know. So Manda Amar Asher Tavarika Manda Amar Mitzasa Beinan Di Is By Shir Mitzio Mishir Aveda Vaad. Achas Mitzia. Okay, so now we have a Nafkamina. Because it's Asher Tovad, so fine. There's a mitzvah of Ashavas Aveda, meaning Asher Tovad tells me, I found an item. Great. Critical point two. And was it Ashav Pruta at that critical point? Sure. Yes, it was. Okay. So the, fine. So let's do that again, by the way. Let me do it even better. Asher Tovad is critical point number one, right? When he lost it. When he lost it, was it Ashav Pruta? The answer is yes. Do I have now a mitzvah to return it? The answer is going to be yes. Great. Now, if I'm learning it from U-mitzasa, so again, focus on that vav, right? U-mitzasa, and it was found, which now means, be'inan de'is be'shir mitzia mishas aveda v'adshas mitzia. That vav is a continuum, meaning that vav is stringing together the two critical points, right? So that means to say that when it was lost and when it was found, it needed to be a shava pruta throughout. If at any point in time it dips below Shava Pruta and comes back up, so then at that point in time you have lost the requisite, the bar is set in terms of the requirement to return it, you did not have a Shava Pruta throughout. Okay. Anyway, let's now say it simply. We have a bright, so I'll just quickly summarize it, almost a full Amud of Gemara in a sentence or two, and that is that we have a bright that tells us that there's a requirement of a Shava Pruta. The Brisa brings into a position, Tanakam Rabbi Yehuda, how do we know this, that it has to be a Shavar Pruta? It's either from the word Asher Tavad, or it's from the word Umitzasa. Is there a Nafkamina between the two positions? Machlok Tshin Abai and Rava. According to Abaye, no Nafkamina, and according to Rava, there is a Nafkamina. Took a moment for the Gemara to figure out the Nafkamina. Lost Shavar Pruta, found Shavar Pruta. In between the two, it went below Shavar Pruta. Okay, Ibai Lehu. Okay, now, Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, bottom of the Amud, and here now our big sugya of the second parak of Bar Mitzvah. Now we already had a big sugya, so this will be our second really big sugya, and that's going to be whether or not Simanim operate min haTorah or midRabbanan. Okay, in other words, and is a good place to discuss it. In other words, it's a fundamental point. Yes, it could have been brought up at the beginning of the parak, but here we are right now in the middle of the second parak of Bar Mitzvah, and now we're going to be asking basic. I lost an item. We now know, so as long as the item has a simon, it has a marker that personalizes and identifies it as mine, so I'll go and claim it using the simon, he'll return it to me, mitzvah v'shavas aveda. This idea that a simon, I can go ahead and claim it using a simon, is that a din da'araisa or a din da'rabanan? That's the question we're about to ask. Okay, is the Torah recognizing the simon, or is it the chachamim going ahead and recognizing the simon? In a moment, we're going to point out a basic nafkamina. We're going to do all that. But before we even engage in this discussion, so let's just make the following point. It's a general point. Not all simanim are the same. Okay. there are gradations in simanim, right? There's a grade A siman, grade B siman, and grade C siman. Okay, how do I know that? Because, you know, in other words, we, Baruch Hashem, we've learned this perek. I think a lot of us around this room have learned this perek before. So, but we get to organize the information. Okay, a grade A siman is what's called a siman mavak. So a siman mavak is something that is so clear, so representative that the item belongs to me, that at that point in time, there's nothing to even talk about. We're not even entertaining the discussion. Is that d'oraisa? Is that d'rabbanan? It's a siman mavak, right? The example that I've given time and again is our faces. Okay, in other words, how do I know that that's you? I'm looking at your face, okay? Nose, ears. But again, though, we're all hardwired to know exactly who we're looking at. In other words, it's a siman mavak. Okay. So that's a grade A siman, probably not in this discussion that we're having right now. And then, of course, let's go to the C siman, right? The grade C siman. And that's going to be, I know what color it is, mazel tov. The person over there is really tall. Okay. These are not great simanim. They're, what's it called? They're a siman garua. Super generic, right? Not really that descriptive. Also, probably not even in this discussion as well. So where are we right now? We're in the sweet spot of simanim, and that's going to be beinoni. We're like in the middle right now. In other words, it is something. It's an identifying marker. It's not muvak. It's not garua. It's somewhere in the middle. Okay. So even as we have this discussion right now, whether it's the Raisa or whether it's the Rabbanan, we're all recognizing that not all simanim are the same. Basically, I just created a spectrum of. Or write a chart of basically three levels of simanim, muvak, garua, and somewhere in the middle, beinoni. This Gemara's question over here, probably in the beinoni category. Gemara doesn't say it as like I'm saying it, but that's probably the right way to look at it. And I know you could argue, but hopefully I'm setting it up good. So ibailu simanim daraisa o derabanan, so my nafkamina. So the Gemara says, well, what do you mean? If whether it's daraisa or derabanan, what difference does it make? I found a lost item. I return it to its owner. How come? Because he's going to identify it with a siman. Okay, so. La duri gedisha b'simanim. So Gemara says, I'll tell you what the nafkamina is. Big nafkamina. And that's going to be the following. Shlich was sent to deliver a get. And the shlich lost a get. And of course he feels terrible, but okay. We're now past the point of emotion and we're now at the point of halacha. Someone recovers the get. So can he go ahead now and return it? So this is now going to be an afkamina. If we're just talking about mamanus, so even if it's a din derabanan, we're going to go ahead and return it, meaning the Beis Din has the ability, the power to go ahead and take money, take it away from one person, give it to another person. This is what's called hefker Beis Din hefker. So if we're just talking about mamanus, so daraisa derabanan, it's going to work either way. But now we're talking about a gerisha and returning a get to a woman. This may or may not be her get. And this is not a mamanus issue. This is now allowing an eshes ish to go get remarried. This is iser v'heter. So if Simon works on a daraisa level, then do it. Return it to her. But if Simon only works on a derabana level, so for mamanus, we're good. But for eshes ish, no. That's unacceptable. Good. Beautiful setup. And you know what's going to be done for the remainder of today and tomorrow. And that is, we're going to go back and forth. We're going to be quoting Mishnas, Brisos, right? Making arguments in terms of whether or not Simon are Daraisa or Darabanan. Let's begin the discussion. So, Iyamar Daraisa Madrina, Viyamar Darabanan, Kiyavar Darabanan Takanta, Bamamana, Babisar, Lava Darabanan Takanta. So, I should have read that already, but okay. So, the Gemara is just simply spelling out. If Simonim are only Darabanan, it works in the monetary world. But if it only works mid Darabanan, we're not going to apply in the case of Gedisha, being Mater Eshes Ish, Tashma. So now, proof number one, that it's Daraisa. Our Mishnah, we learned this morning in our Mishnah already, that when you have a Simla and it has a Simon, you return it based on a Pasuk in the Torah. Sounds like Simonim or Daraisa, right? So Tana Tovim Mitzrich Lei Simanim Kidei Nasba. So the Gemara says maybe not. Maybe the whole point of Simla is that there's a Toveya, meaning, and this goes back to the point that I made earlier this morning in the Mishnah, meaning Yeshlo Tovim Yeshlo Simanim. Is that 1 point or 2 points? What the Gemara now is arguing is that that's two separate points. And really, what we're learning from the Torah is Yesh Latovim. Somebody's claiming it. That's, from the Torah's perspective, the critical component in terms of when am I obligated to return it? Simanim? That's a Din D'Rabbanan. Yes, it was placed into the Mishnah, but that's not Min HaTorah, that's Min D'Rabbanan. The critical point Min HaTorah is that Yesh Lo Tovim. That's what we're arguing right now. Tashma. Chamor b'simani ukaf. Well, okay, let's move ahead. What about the chamor? So simani ukaf. I can go ahead and identify the donkey. How am I identifying it? Because of the saddle that it's wearing. Right? In other words, the donkeys are generic. No simon by donkey. But the saddle that it's wearing, that I can identify. So and meanwhile, that's a drasha of the Torah, and of course it's a simon. Simon are operating mina Torah, right? So ema be'ede ukaf. The Gemara says, I don't know. Maybe that's not the point. Maybe the point is that I have witnesses who can testify that that's my saddle. But in other words, but the simonim by itself is insufficient. Okay. I'm just going to spell this out. How are witnesses going and testifying that it's your saddle? Meaning, so I guess within this defense of the Gemara, what you have to say is that the witnesses saw the donkey ride off from my property into somebody else's property. They're not identifying the saddle because they recognize it. They're identifying it because they actually saw the donkey move from point A to point B.
Right, maybe I've seen him put it on the donkey.
Okay. But in other words, but the dichui over here, the Gemara is pushing off this raya by simply saying it's not the simanim of the ukaf.
Right.
Okay, good. Tashma. Okay, this is already round three. V'aya imcha d'rosh achicha uso v'chisal ha'adat chashinen alo kodim shijushenu. You know, when he goes and asks for it, then you return it. And what? And you're going to return it before? So, ela darshahu im ramayu in a ramay. Okay, so what you have to do is you have to use what's called common sense. I know that's not easy, but you have to use common sense, and that is that you have to see this person now coming and claiming an item. Is it really his? In other words, is this person now a liar? Historically, has he lied in the past? Everyone has a cheskes kashrus. Let's presume the best in everybody, and of course, until proven otherwise. So, if this person already has a history of lying, cheating, deceiving, so then when he comes and he claims the item. And he's telling you, hey, it's mine. How do I know? Because of Simon. Yeah, but if you know already that he's cheated out people in the past, so don't go ahead and don't return it to him. Now, what to do from that point going forward? Consult your local rabbi. But in other words, but this is something that you have to gauge. Now, my love is Simonim. So the Gemara says, now, how do I know whether he's a Ramai or he's not a Ramai? We're going to ask him, can you identify the item? In other words, isn't Simon going to be the way in which we're going to identify now? I did such a poor job explaining the Gemara because I set it up wrong. Meaning, right, I talked about his history. Clear the history, if you will. In other words, what the Gemara first presumes is that whether he's a Ramai or not is going to be based on, can he identify the Simon? Okay, that's the Havamina. Lo, the Edom. The Gemara says, no. So the no, not necessarily. In other words, his being a Ramai cannot be based on Simanim, but it could be based on Edim, who are telling us that item doesn't belong to him. Okay. Tashma. Ein me'idim ela parts of hapanim imachotam alfa b'shiyeh shemanim begufa v'kelav shvamin alav daraisa. Okay, so Rachmanis, you discover a body, right? Dead body, and that means that it was somebody married to a woman. And now you're going to go back and you're going to report that I saw him. In other words, and now you're going to, with your reporting and with your aegis, you're going to go ahead and allow his wife to remarry. Okay, and now, what are you reporting? You have to see the face, says the Mishnah Yevamos. Two Prakim at the end of Yevamos discussing this topic of aegis isha. And so, but you have to see the face. In other words, if let's say you're identifying him based on his clothing, based on some marker in the body, insufficient. So over here, why is that insufficient? Meaning, if there's something strange about the clothing, or if I'm telling you what he was wearing, which we know that man was wearing, so isn't that a simon? Or a marker on the body, isn't that a simon? Oh. Simanim are not daraisa. Well, if simanim are not daraisa, what about the face? It goes back to my point that I made setting up the whole sugya. And that is that the face is a siman mavak, meaning that this whole discussion over here is not in a grade A siman. A grade A siman, like a face, that's a siman mavak, not part of the discussion. The part of the discussion over here is some unique feature about an article of clothing. Okay, and meaning the beinoni, middle simanim. So Amre, so the Gemara says, yeah, I hear you, but gufo darach v'gutz, and Caleb chayshin ha-sheila. You know why the Mishnah is unhappy with gufo? Because what you're identifying him when you're describing his body is he was really tall, or he was really short. In other words, what is that? That's a great C simon. Hardly an identifying marker. In other words, simonim may be midaraisa, but you came back just simply saying, yeah, he was really tall. That's nothing. Or he was really short. And as far as the clothing is concerned, you know, right, that was your husband's clothing, but that doesn't mean your husband. In other words, it could be that somebody else borrowed his clothing. You're worried about sharing? Meaning once sharing now is on the table, so what about the saddle and the donkey? In other words, how do I know it's my donkey? Because it's that's my saddle. I don't know. Maybe that saddle was taken off another donkey. So Amri lo sheula in sheuchve mishum demisakev leilechamre. Gemara says, no, there's no saddle sharing. Everyone in the donkey world knows this. You know, I'm not part of the donkey world, but everybody knows this. In other words, the saddle, if you try to take a saddle from one donkey to another, it's going to be abrasive. It's going to hurt. No one's sharing saddles. Or, in other words, as far as the clothing is concerned, maybe the clothing was just simply identified by its color. Again, color, that's grade C. It's not a simon. Elah haditanya matzo kasher bekis o ba'arniki uvetabas osha matzo ben kalav afilos mamaruba kasher. The Mishnah Gittin says that a lost get that was recovered with a wallet, a ring, clothing. So in other words, a clear item that is marked and identifiable, so you can return the get. Now, it's tied to a wallet. Okay, in other words, I know it was tied to a wallet, but that means that now I can identify the get because it was tied to my wallet. Maybe we're sharing wallets. So, Amre, kisva arniki v'tabas lo mashali inche, kisva arniki mishum demisamne, v'tabas mishum demizayev. Now, the Gemara says there's no wallet sharing, and and there's no ring sharing. Now, there's no wallet sharing. Why? So it's a bad omen. I don't lend my wallet out because it's a bad omen. Now, you if you're listening carefully, you heard me. And what I said is really strange.
It's a bad omen for the cash inside.
Because we're Jewish people and we're not allowed to believe in this omen stuff. Right? And this is not an original question which I'm asking. Tosfos is asking this question. Right? The Gemara says, Kis v'arnikim mishum demisamnei. You're never going to see an easier question to understand in Tosos, right? In other words, the Gemara says, you know, no one's going to share wallets. Why? Because it's a bad omen. Yeah, but lo senachshu, the Torah tells us, point blank, don't go for this omen stuff, right? So Tosos answers, right? It's a short Tosos. Yesh omer b'shul b'me'isha amin and kol davar sheyesh bo mishum refuah, ein bo mishum darchei amori. Yeah, but if something is actually therapeutic, so then you don't have to worry about it being a bad omen. Okay, now, how your personalized wallet is going to be something therapeutic, that's really difficult to explain. I don't have an explanation. Okay. And as far as rings are concerned, you know, rings have a signet on them. And so, in other words, so what you do is that you're going to notarize documents or you're going to personalize items, and people are going to think it really was you. So no one's going to lend out rings. So that's why if I find the get amongst either your wallet or rings, you can successfully identify them. Okay, fine. Beautiful. Lema Ketanai is a great place to start tomorrow. In fact, we aren't going to start tomorrow with the words Lema Ketanai. We are just embarked on the sugya of whether Simanim are Daraisa Darabanan. We continue tomorrow.